thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Two little questions that shape how many people live. What will people say? What will people think of me? You ever said that? Those are two little questions that many people give a lot of attention to. And here in Northern Ireland, we live in a very small country. Most of us live in or around a very small rural town within that country. Now, one wonderful benefit of that, of living in and around a small rural town, a small country, is there's a greater sense of community. Many of your families have lived in and around here for generations, so you have really wide connections within your family and wider circle. People tend to know quite a lot about you because they look out the window and they peep through around the curtains and they see what's going on and they know your family history. They know a lot more than if you live anonymously in a bigger city. But with that closer community and being known by those around you, those two little questions take on an even bigger significance. What will people say? What will people think about me? How many things have you wanted to do in your life, but you didn't dare to do them because you were afraid of what people would say and what people would think about you, judging you for it? Or how many things have you done and kept on doing because, well, you didn't have the heart to do them, but you were actually scared to stop doing them because people just expect you to do it and you worry about what they'll say or what they think if you don't do a certain thing? We can all be heavily influenced by the opinions of others, and it's usually more than a hindrance than it is a help. We worry too much about what people think of us and what people might say about us. Well, this morning we're going to think very briefly, because somebody's going to wave a red flag when I have to stop, but we're going to think very briefly about one man in particular who had more reason than most to be concerned about what people thought of him and were probably saying about him. His name is Zacchaeus. I hope I don't say Zacharias. For some reason, when I've been practicing, I keep saying Zacharias, but it's really Zacchaeus. Luke 19, if you want to read along, Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this. What were they thinking? What were they saying? All the people saw this and began to mutter. "Oh, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Common way to describe tax collectors. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything," and there would have been a lot of those people, "I will pay four times the amount." Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Isn't that a wonderful story? Very familiar story, I'm sure, to all of us. I wonder at what point in life you begin to notice if you have some physical characteristic that makes you stand out from the crowd. I think I was in first year at, you know, secondary school when I really noticed, because I was turned 11 and I had size 7 feet and I was very thin. I had very thin legs. And so I had my little Cambridge House green skirt on, my fawn socks, and my boats. When we used to be, my mum used to take us to Belfast once a year for a big shopping day. You know, it was like going to the other end of the world to us. Go to Penny's, I think it was then, British Home Store, C&A, and all of that. And we were going up, and the others used to say, we'll call in at Harland and Wolff there and get Rhonda her ships for her feet. And I was just aware that I had these massive feet and never could wear the school regulation shoes for some reason. Maybe you had ginger hair. Wesley, did you not have ginger hair? Gingers stand out. There's a whole big community of people with ginger hair who make a big deal about having ginger hair. It may have been you were very, very thin, or you were very, very not so thin, or you were extremely tall, or you were extremely short. Now, some people have a physical characteristic. It makes them stand out from the crowd, but they've got the confidence to use that to their advantage. I saw a young guy with ginger hair, and he's into politics, and he just made a whole big video about all the gingers who've been world leaders, and he saw it as a real advantage. But for others, I see a boy at school, and he's in year 10, and he must be about 6'4" or 6'5". I mean, when I was sanitizing and I was standing at the door with a spray and he put his hand out, I was like, jumping back. I thought, that boy has a pure spade for a hand, or a shovel. I'd never seen such a big hand on a child. And he's this giant, but he's kind of walking, stooped over a bit, trying to almost, you know, and some of his friends are actually very, very short, trying to look smaller. He's not, I should say, stand up tall, use that to your advantage. Out in the long jump on them. On Friday, he probably was. But I wonder, at what age did Zacchaeus notice that he wasn't growing as quickly as his friends? And we sometimes read the Bible and we forget, you know, these are real people. People made fun of people. Do you remember Elisha? They're calling him baldy and everything. People have always made fun of others. Were Zacchaeus' friends saying, "Look at you, shorty. When are you going to grow up?" Were they saying things to him? Was he feeling, this is a real disadvantage that I'm short? Image consciousness has reached a pinnacle in our social media age. But people have always been conscious of something that makes them stand out from the crowd. And at some point in his life, Zacchaeus made a decision that would affect what people thought of him much more than just being short. He decided he would go to work for the Romans as a tax collector. Now, as a Jew, to make this decision was massive, and it was life-changing, because almost every other Jewish person would from that moment regard you as a traitor, a turncoat. You are working for the occupying force. So they would despise you and ostracize you. You would need to get a whole different friendship group, and it could only really be other tax collectors. You'd be in a clique together. And on top of that, being the hated group because they're working for the Romans, then they were even more hated because every single tax collector was dishonest. The Romans set a tax, but they basically gave the tax collectors free rein. They could charge whatever they wanted. And so they always stole money from the people. They were always extorting the people. Once they began on this stealing from people road, they couldn't stop because greed got a hold of them and they realized they could become very wealthy. Zacchaeus had inched his way up this greasy pole of being a tax collector. And by the time he met Jesus, he was a chief tax collector. He didn't just go out collecting from the people. He was creaming off what all the other tax collectors collected too, creaming off some more for himself. Luke simply says he was wealthy. He knew he wasn't popular. But for a long time, his love of money eased the pain of what other people thought about him. But Zacchaeus found out money isn't everything in life. And when he heard that Jesus was passing through Jericho, he wanted to see him. No doubt he'd heard stories about this itinerant Jewish teacher who did these amazing miracles, who talked about the kingdom of God. But did he just want to see him for curiosity's sake? Or was there some deeper felt need that spurred him on? I don't think it was just for curiosity's sake. I just don't think you're going to see a Jewish man run in front of a crowd of people, climb up a tree, sit hidden in the branches and among the leaves of the tree just to see Jesus if he's only curious. I think the way the Bible presents the story is it's a case really wants to see Jesus. He has learned that money isn't enough. There's a deeper felt need in his life. But he got more than he bargained for. Jesus walking by, X marks the spot. Jesus stopped, looked up, spoke to him by name, which was an amazing revelation to Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus didn't waste a moment. He didn't hesitate. He didn't deliberate. He came down and it says he welcomed Jesus gladly. Well, it seems like the next phase of this story takes place at Zacchaeus' house. They may have been inside. They may have been in an open courtyard area where people quite often, banquets and dinners, would come in or would peer through the doorway. So people were definitely around and could see and hear what was happening. And I'm sure Zacchaeus heard that crowd muttering and complaining that Jesus is now the guest of a sinner. What a term. Zacchaeus knew that is what people thought of him. But it didn't bother him because he knew that was who he was. He knew he was a sinner. He had broken the law of God and he was not going to argue otherwise. He was a sinner. But this meeting with Jesus was going to change everything for Zacchaeus. We have no record of most of the conversation, but we know this. Zacchaeus was receiving grace from Jesus. He was receiving forgiveness from Jesus. He was receiving salvation from Jesus and not a word of condemnation. And this grace and forgiveness led to an immediate change of heart. The stony, greedy, self-seeking, selfish heart that had been ready to steal from anybody and everybody to line his own pocket was immediately changed. The stony heart that ignored the commandments of God was suddenly, instantaneously changed into a heart of flesh that wanted to obey God, love God, live a different life for God. Here was someone who met Jesus and he was a new creation. The old had gone. The new had come. Zacchaeus stood up, and I'm sure there's plenty of people listening, and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor." Do you think there was a rush at the door? Somebody said, "I'll run in and take that vase. I'll run in and take that chair. I'll run in and take that picture." Maybe the people were queuing up to see what they could get. "I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Yes, indeed. Salvation had come. And the result was an immediate change of heart, leading to a change of priorities, to a change of mind, to a change of lifestyle. The one who was the taker became the giver. The one who was the cheater made generous restitution. Listen to Jesus' response. "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." There is the evidence of salvation. A changed heart leading to a changed life. Acknowledging that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Willing to admit that you've been wrong. Willing to make restitution where possible. These three things have stood out to me as being continuously important in all of our lives, no matter how long we've been saved. Friends, not one of us will ever reach a point where we don't need the grace and the forgiveness of a Savior. Today, on Sunday, the 12th of June, 2022, I am a sinner in need of the grace and forgiveness of a Savior. I came to the Lord in November 1975 as an 8-year-old child. He saved me, but that was not the end of his saving me. Right up until this day, until the day he comes back or calls me home, I am a sinner in need of the grace and forgiveness of a Savior. Do you acknowledge that? Do you acknowledge that for yourself? That's what puts so many non-Christians off. Self-righteous people who don't seem anymore to need anything forgiven. But we still can be continuously cleansed in his precious blood. And we still need to admit where we have gone wrong. We still need to admit it. In relation to others, when is the last time you ever said sorry to somebody? Sorry because you actively did something wrong, or sorry because you didn't do something that you ought to have done? When's the last time? Friends, we don't always get it right, but we need to be able to admit when we are wrong and to make restitution where possible. When is the last time you or I ever made restitution where we have wronged somebody or done something in some way? This is true Christian testimony. Our testimony, yes, it is something that happened to us in the past, but it just can't be that. Your testimony as a believer is what is happening in your life today. What is Jesus saying to you today? What is he doing in your life today? If somebody stopped you on the street this week and said, "Don't tell me when you became a Christian. Tell me what's happening right now in your walk with God. Are you ready? Have you got the scriptures that God is speaking to you about and you're working through with him and he's challenging you? Can you speak of his blessings in the last number of days and weeks? Can you speak about his forgiveness and his grace that's happening now?" That's the Christian life that is noticed by the people all round about us. That is the Christian life that is noticed. It's a life of humility, it's a life of honesty, and it's a life of integrity before God and before our fellow human beings. Missions isn't just about giving money to help other people tell other people in faraway countries about Jesus being the Savior. That's part of it. But missions also includes me and you in our daily lives, rubbing shoulders with the people in this world and acknowledging I'm still a sinner in need of the saving grace and forgiveness and love of God every day of my life. And seeing where we go off track, admitting it, acknowledging it, and coming back and making restitution where possible. Mission at its heart, for all of us, wherever you are, at its heart is pointing other people to Jesus, the only Savior. Let's pray, and the worship group will come as we come to the table. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would keep each one of us in a position of humility. Every day, Lord, to walk before you in that attitude of humility, that we need you, Lord, we need you. We need your grace, Lord, every day of our lives. We need your forgiveness every day of our lives. And I pray, Lord, you would help us to walk honestly before you and before the people around us. Lord, help us to recognize in ourselves when we have gone off track, when we have wronged others by our words, by our actions, by our attitudes. And help us, Lord, to make restitution where possible. Help us not to be slow to say that we are sorry. Help us, Lord, not to be slow to put things right, not only before you, but before the people around us. And Lord, above all, I pray that our lives would bear great testimony to you as the Savior, because what a Savior you are. Lord, I pray this morning for any of people here who may be overly worried about what people say about them or what people think about them. Help us all, Lord, to throw off the shackles of those stresses that come into our lives, and help us to determine in our hearts that we will walk before you humbly before our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.